Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is Evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church, under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr., sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. We are happy to have you tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and our beautiful co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. Today's topic will be a silent cry, part two. We will be continuing from part one on last week. And as I bring the co-host into our studio at this time for our opening prayer, please bow your heads and join us in the prayer. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Smith.
God bless you all this evening. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your name. Father, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to touch each and every person tonight, and especially to lift up tonight, praise God, our host of Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, along with myself and everybody that's connected here this evening for this second part of domestic violence. Father, we pray that those that are out there that may be dealing with this crime, Lord, that you would touch, that you would intervene, that you would lead and guide them to the place that you desire them to be, a place of love, a place of care, a place of the abundance and the overflow of life. God, we ask you that you would protect and shield them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Listeners, our topic, as I said for today, will be a silent cry, part two of the topic that we had a couple of weeks ago. And as you know, domestic violence awareness month, comes to an end. Let us be reminded each and every day that the cry for justice from those victims that will be suffering from this deadly crime still will be living in such an environment day after day. A silent cry we cannot see in their eyes or hear them crying out loudly in their minds. A face with tears when we cannot see, or a punch, a kick, a slap, suffering, a shame, loneliness, unpleasant emotional isolation, and psychologically loneliness. Unpleasant emotional being isolated from their family and friends. Let us keep them in mind as this month comes to an end, that we should continue to pray for them each day of our lives, that God will give them the courage to escape such environment. Domestic violence is not limited to just women and men are victims as well. We will continue to pray and cry for those victims, hoping to encourage someone as we stand in the gap for them and their children. Stay tuned in for this amazing episode that we'll be bringing you on today. And remember, listeners, you can join us on this amazing, informative, important topic by pressing the number one on your phone if you have any questions, comments, or want to share your thoughts and experience. At this time, I would yield and give and let our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, talk more on the topic that we have for you today. Remember, listeners, we're talking about violence, suffering, hurt, pain, destruction, life, death, mental illness, talking about families who's going through a lot and what their children is going through as well. So stay tuned and know that these victims are suffering. This is not a crime that we should take lightly. This is a serious, deadly crime. So at this time, I'll bring to the studio our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome you back to the Power Hour. Praise God, our line of Facing Your Fear, where we are coming together for part two of domestic violence on Facing Your Fear's radio talk show with the host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and myself, Pastor Doris Smith. We are so glad that you all have chimed in this evening for part two of domestic violence. As you have heard, as we're going forward with this, domestic violence is a crime. Don't take it lightly. It is not okay. So many people are suffering in silence for so many different reasons. And I want to share with you this evening, and I want you to be prepared also to click on your line, to press your number one to come in and share or ask questions, because what we're talking about is globally. The victims of domestic violence are overwhelmingly, as we all know, women. And women tend to experience more severe forms of violence. Yes, men experience it. But I'm sharing with you, as I have researched and obtained this information, women tend to experience more severe forms of violence than men do. They are also likelier than men to use intimate partner violence in self-defense. So when we speak about this, because it's a universal thing, domestic violence is not just here in the United States or in specific places. It's worldwide. In some countries, domestic violence is often seen as being justified. It's a crime. But in some countries, it's seen as being justified, particularly in cases of actual or suspected infidelity on the part of a woman, as if she is to be punished or to be dealt with or to be treated as a child in an adult state. And it's legally permitted. There are places in the world that it is very much legal to abuse, to dominate, to mistreat your wife or your partner. Well, that's not the case here. It is a crime, and we ought to see it like what it is. Research has also established that there exists a direct and significant correlation between a country's level of gender equality and rate of domestic violence. Look at this. Domestic violence often occurs. When does it occur? When the abuser believes. Listen, didn't say it had to be right now. But listen, it said, when does domestic violence occur? When the abuser, when the one that's inflicting the pain, when the one that's inflicting the hurt, when the one that's demoralizing you, physically abusing you, believes that this abuse that he or she is inflicting upon you is what you deserve. That individual is dealing with mental issues that make them think that the fact that I'm beating her or the fact that I'm abusing him or beating him, because it's not all just women. There are men. 1 to 4 men are abused just as it is 1 to 7 women. Men also are abused, and they feel that they're not only entitled to do this to the person, but they feel that it should be acceptable, and they too should see it as being okay, and they too should see it as being justified. You did something that caused me to beat you, but then later on, because I say mental, is because later on that process has passed or has calmed down somewhat with the abuser, and now he or she is looking for actual physical intimacy or time with that person. So now they come back and they begin to say all the nice things. Because listen, this is a mental issue. They're thinking it's okay.
as if you're a child, not realizing you too are an adult, have already been raised and already have been instilled with morals and values, but they come to strip that away from you, because the only way they can reign over you and dominate you and demoralize you is by making you afraid and attacking you, making you think that you're the opposite to what you really are, that you don't matter when you do matter. That it's okay to make a punching bag out of you when it's not okay. And so many are suffering in the world today in complete and absolute silence for so many reasons. You have women that are suffering in silence. Why? Because of fear of their home life being destructed, because of fear of them not having the finances and the ability to live the life that they are accustomed to living, for fear of them not being able on their own, once they've divorced or separated, to be able to provide for their children and their family as they would with the abuser. And many a times, these abuse issues and cases go unreported. It goes unreported, and the sad part about it is a lot of children are caught up in this cycle of abuse. Children, and not only just the children, but there are elderly that live in some of these homes that are also abused, afraid for their daughter, afraid for their son, because they know last night they put their hands over their ears while their daughter screamed and while they were afraid. So when the abuser leaves the next morning, they're over there telling the daughter, well, don't make him mad. Don't make him do this, because they too know, or at least feel that they can't. Some people literally feel they can't survive or can't go on without what they have or without what they have gotten accustomed them to. Not true. You should never settle for abuse as okay. It's a crime. When you're being beat and blood knocked from your mouth and eyes busted and lip busted and face knocked all kind of ways, disfiguring. Listen, this thing gets very brutal. Some of these women, vice versa, men are beat, stabbed, finally kill, and some to inches of their life. And then when they heal and come back together somewhat to be able to obtain a normal life through restoration and healing, they go right back, because it has become a mental thing. Some way, somehow, they are feeling, not realizing that by now the children are suffering. The children have become afraid. The elderly people in the home with you have also become afraid. And when it comes down to the children in these abuse systems, not only the children, but other family members who now feel that such violence is acceptable or even condoned, because they don't see the person that's violence being inflicted on taking no steps or doing anything to come out. And this is in children. This is what leads children to growing up, becoming adults, and then it's like a generational curse. Mama was okay with being beat and knocked and dragged and hear her screaming through the walls at night, and we got accustomed to covering our ears and putting pillows over our heads so we wouldn't hear it, and we wake up in the morning, we got accustomed to wearing the mask. But the hour now is to come from behind the mask and let it be known. Say something. If you know that this crime is taking place, you got to say something. Yes, you're saying something has to be with kid gloves, because remember, when that abuser see any sign that he or she is going to lose control, it's more likely than none that they will prepare to kill you. So you have to be extremely cautious, not only for your life, but for the life of your children, for the life of others that may be in that family members in that home with you. How you pull your hand out of the lion's mouth without him clamping down and taking it. You have to do it. Don't go and announce, I'm tired, I'm not going to take this, mama, leave. No, don't go and announce it. That's the worst thing you could do, is go announce, because, listen, they are flowing off of control. They live off of control. They function off of that ability to dominate, to break down. And make you think that you need them. You can't live. You can't eat. You can't do anything. You're nothing without them. No, don't believe that. You are something. You were created from the very beginning, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You were chosen from the very beginning, a masterpiece of the Lord. He created you. He made you. He knows all about you. And one of the things he didn't create you to is to be abused. He wants you to be loved. He shared the greatest love of all. He wants you to be loved. Know who you are. And most importantly, know whose you are. He didn't come for you to suffer, be beat, dragged, and mistreated. He came that you may have life and that you may have that life more abundantly. We want to pause here for a moment just to let you know today that you are listening to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. And we want you listeners to become a part of this conversation. Remember, domestic violence is not just during the month of domestic violence. It's every day in every part of the world. Every nationality, every race of people are affected in some way, somehow, as it concerns this topic we are talking about tonight. So if you're on and you want to share or make a comment, press that number one on your phone. And feel free to come in. I want to pause for a moment to bring back on the line Evangelist Chapman so she would have an opportunity to chime back in. And we're going to move right along with Domestic Violence Part 2. Evangelist Chapman? Well, we'll move right along.
I'm here.
Good evening.
I'm in the studio with you, Pastor Smith.
Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Yes. All right, listeners. We're continuing part two on his silent cry. And today we're going to be giving out some informative information on victims that are caught up into this sad environment. But remember that the month is coming to an end. Domestic Violence Awareness Month is coming to an end. And those of you who was not on when I first started on this evening, we're talking about the unpleasant emotional isolation and psychological fears that these people, these victims will still have, not just during the month of October, but every day of their life is a silent cry that we cannot see in their eyes or hear them crying out loudly in their minds. If a face with tears we cannot see, or a punch, a kick, a slap, suffering, a shameless, loneliness, unpleasantness that they endure day after day, some of them hour after hour, and the children that's living with them in their households, they're listening and seeing these terrible things happening to their mother or their father, because listeners, remember, not just women suffers from fear of the person that having control over their life. Men go through the same issue. There are some aggressive women out here in the world, aggressive young ladies that hit their boyfriends and curse them and abuse them and take advantage of the love that that person has for them. So, there's so much going on in the domestic violence environment that we cannot just cover it all in a month. But it's something that you, those of you at home, should look into and be aware of those situations that sometimes it's right there in front of your face with your friends and family. You know, there are signs, there are some warning signs that you can see and maybe detect, or even with them not being afraid to tell you what's going on in their lives, they still have warning signs that you can tell that something is going on in this household that shouldn't be going on. The children is acting strange. The children is afraid to talk to their grandparents, are afraid to talk to the school teachers or whatever the situation is. You can see there's some type of fear there. Something is not normal that's going on in their household. I see we do have a caller that has called in, and as always, you know, I don't like to keep them waiting. If you hit that number one on your phone, I can bring you into the studio if you have any questions, comments. I just want to share your thoughts on the subject today, the silent cry, dealing with domestic violence. I'm going to bring the call in, area code 786. Last four digits is 5094. Again, caller calling from error code 786, last four digits, 5094. Let me bring you into the studio.
That's one.
Good evening, caller. How are you?
Hi, good evening.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that this is an awesome topic tonight, especially when you spoke of the children being afraid to speak, being a person that deal with kids on a daily. Us as adults have to be very careful with the activity that we allow our children to see and the things that we allow them to experience, because it can cause them to shut down and get in the mode where they don't want to speak or they become very fearful. And then not only that, as they grow up with the mentality thinking that it is okay for that type of activity to happen to them. So they will go on being abused or being talked to, and it's not just physical abuse, verbal abuse as well. And I honestly believe that verbal abuse is so much worse than physical abuse. When people say that words would never hurt, that is a story, because words stick with you forever and they scar you for the rest of your life, especially when you're not mentally strong and your self-esteem is not up to par. Those words stick to you and you go on believing as if you can't get past what that person has said or even thought about saying about you. But with the children, we have to be so very careful, because our kids shut completely down. And what we think that they don't see, they see. They really do. So it was amazing for you to even say that, because it is so true. Dealing with children every day, the activity that they see at home, it plays a major part in their daily life as little children.
Thank you so much, caller, for calling in and sharing your thoughts on today's topic. And it's true, you know, that what our children hear and see in our household does play a big part of their mental mentality as they grow up. Now, we have to remember that. Thank you for calling. Anything else you want to say before I continue?
No, ma'am. I'm calling from Miami, Florida. Pastor
Thank
Smith.
You so much. And feel free to call in anytime. We're on the air every Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30 your time, Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank you for calling in. God bless you. Listeners, as she was saying about the children, listening to verbal abuse, let's talk about some of the verbal abuse, what they do under the topic verbal abuse. That's dealing with a constant criticism. Someone is always constantly criticizing you, talking about your weight, your hair, the way, and the name calling, the mockery, the swearing, the yelling, and the humiliating remarks that they do to their victim. That's under verbal abuse. And I promised you before this month was that I was going to go into some of the things, some of the forms of abuse. I've talked about threats and intimidation. They're threatening to harm you, the victim. They threaten to harm you. They threaten to harm the children or family members or your pets. There are a lot of people that love their pets. So they'll take the pet and throw the pet across the room or do something that's violent to the pet. That's under the topic intimidation. They're intimidating them, controlling them by these things. Also using physical size to intimidate them. You know, you may have a person that stands taller than you, or you may be a bigger in strength and muscle than all of that. That they use that to intimidate you. Sometimes they won't hit you. They'll just stand over you and give you a mean look or just ball their fence up at you. That's a form of threat, and that's also a form of intimidation. And using hollering and shouting and screaming at you, that their voice intimidates you. That voice puts fear in the victim as well.
and are keeping weapons and threatening to use them like a knife or a gun or a baseball bat or anything near them where they're sitting. They will threaten to throw it at you. In some cases, they will throw it at the victim. These are some of the ways of threats and intimidation. Not all of them, just some of them. Talk about abusing and trust. And the trust they do is lying to their victims all the time. Baby, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know I didn't mean to do it. Please forgive me. You know I love you. Whatever lie they come out their mouth, they know they're going to do it again. But they're lying, constantly lying to the victims, as well as breaking their promise. Now, they've already promised you the first time that they hit you, the very first time. The very first time they called you out to them, I'm sorry, that slipped, it will never happen again. And here 10 years later, in some cases, they are still doing it to their victim, and because their victims have not had the courage to leave that type of environment. So, and then also withholding important information from you. You may say, baby, you know, did you receive your check this month? Or how much did you make? Or any questions that you may ask them, they would withhold that important information that you're seeking from them. They would withhold that from their victims, as well as being unfaithful. A lot of them are very unfaithful. They go out and do what they want to do, and they come back. Before they go out, they beat them and hurt them and intimidate them and talk about them and all matter, you know, using all types of verbal threats. And then on top of that, they go out and they have outside relationships, and they come back, and then when they come back through the door, they start beating on their victims all over again, also being very jealous. Now, they're jealous of you, but you cannot speak of being jealous of them or ask them any questions that you may feel something is going on and ask them about it. They don't want you to feel any type of feeling, human feeling, but they are jealous of you. Jealousness as far as you going out to the mailbox, having company at your house, talking to your family members, or having a relationship with your mother or your sisters and brothers and cousins. They're jealous of that type of trust. You know, they don't want you to trust nobody but them. Also, we talk about the economic control is not paying bills and refusing to give the victim money. That's one way of making sure that you have no control over what you can and cannot do with as far as money-wise. You know, you have no money, you can't go anywhere. You're afraid to ask for any money. If you do, you would get beat up or talked about, or kicked, or slapped, or et cetera. Also, the interfering with the victim's job. A lot of them don't want the victims to go to work, or if they go to work, they're constantly coming around the job, calling the job, doing all kind of craziness that can cause the victim to lose their jobs, and as well as not allowing the victim to learn a skill. Some of the abusers will not let the victims go to school to get any education so they can. Why? Because they don't want them to be independent. They want them to stay dependent on them and make them feel as if they are not worthy or don't have enough sense or don't have enough education to do anything for themselves. So that comes under the learning skills. Refusing to work and support the family. Some of them refuse. I'm not going to work. Let the government. We're doing fine on welfare. Or we're doing fine on food stamps, or whatever the situation may be. And because they refuse it, they don't want to go to work and support. A lot of them expect the victim to go out, prostitute, and do all manners of crime, stealing, and whatever they can do to support them. And they're prohibiting the victim from going to school. I just talked about that as well. Harassment. Let's talk about some of the harassment that they do. Following or stalking, embarrassing the victim in public, constantly checking up on the victims, refusing to leave when asked. Isolation, we just talked about some of those things a couple of weeks ago. Making it hard for the victim to see friends and family, I just mentioned that as well. Monitoring your phone calls, reading your mail. Now, some of these people are not even married to these victims. They're just visitors. or they just come around every now and then. When they do, these are the things, you better not open that mail before I get back here. And the victims are afraid to read their own mail, and as well as controlling where the victim go. We talked about that earlier. Taking the victim's car keys, they're having just stopping them from leaving, and then be afraid to tell them you're going to leave, because if you say you're going to leave them, it may kill you or hurt you real bad. So checking mileage on the victim's car. Man, you know, you got 25 miles or 10 miles more than what you should have today or 2 days. You know, they want the same mileage. Leave home, go to work, come back home, and they expect to see that mileage time after time after time. Destroying victims' passport if they're a person that is living outside the country, living in another country. They make sure you cannot get back there. Or if you marry someone outside of the United States, they make sure you don't have a passport to be able to return back into the United States. Sexual abuse, forcing sex upon their victim, demanding sex actions that the victim does not want to perform. And I'm not going to name any of that on the live radio show, but you can imagine some of the nasty and low-down things that if a person is afraid that the abusers have them doing, okay? Degrading treatment, and above all the above are forms of sexual assault. They are sexual assaults. It's a crime. It is a crime, okay? And we talked about the verbal abuse a few minutes ago. Physical abuse is when they're hitting, kicking, pushing, beating, slapping, strangling, or punching a victim. Remember, domestic violence is not love. It is an isolated incident. It's not a right that one. It is not a right that one partner has over another. Domestic violence is a crime. That's what it is. It is a choice. Is used to gain power and control. And before I bring give back over to the our co-host, I just want to, since we were talking about domestic violence, before the month is out, I want to give you some information on how women become trapped into these situations. Fear of death. Women are 75% more likely to be killed by an intimidated partner when leaving or after leaving. It has to be very, very careful. After they've left the victim will look for them and then take their lives, okay? The lack of resource. Most women have at least one dependent child. Many women are not employed outside the home. Many women have no property that is solely theirs. Some women lack access to cash or bank accounts. They don't have any money. They don't have any bank accounts. They don't have any resources. As I said earlier, also the women who leave fear being charged with desertion, losing custody of the children, and losing control of the joint assets. That's a married couple where they have you consented. If you leave me, you're not going to get no car. You're not going to. I'm gonna fight you in court. Now you don't have a money to pay an attorney. So you're going to leave with nothing, and I'm going to make sure you get nothing. So these are the things that they tell you to keep you chained and bound into that type of relationship, and a woman is left with fear, being charged with desertion. You deserted your husband or you deserted your wife. Don't feel that way. You're not deserting anyone. You're saving your life. You're leaving because you want to live in a more comfortable environment. You want to be able to live and be able to make your own choices, what you want to wear, what you want to eat, where you want to go, what type of education you choose, your goals in life. That is your decision. That's an individual decision. You don't need no one else to make those decisions for you. And I'm talking about women now and men that in a domestic violence relationship, and these are some of the things they get trapped into to keep them chained and bound into that environment, and because they are afraid to leave that environment, okay? Women who leave fear of being, I said that already, and losing custody of their children. You know, I'm going to make sure you don't get the child. You're not going to take my child from me. The child going to stay here with me. You won't be allowed to see it anymore. Anything that they can do to keep you trapped into that domestic violence environment. and the woman and her children may face poverty if you leave. You ain't going to have nothing if you leave me. You can't take your clothes. You cannot have nothing out of this house. So they're afraid that if I leave, Lord, I can't get my clothes. I don't have access to no money. These are the type of things that the abuser keep them trapped in and keep them afraid to cry out for help and to leave the environment. The institutional responsibilities also of abusers' behavior. Many women try to leave only to find the abuse escapees escalate after leaving. Some of them leave. They find the courage to leave, but it's so much happened after they leave. They come into where they are. They are to their parents' house or their relatives' house, tearing up stuff, threatening to kill, threatening to burn the house down. Listeners, you listen. There's so much that these victims go through. Even the threat to harm the children, to kill their own children if you leave. If the kids go to school, I'm waiting for them at the school. Or when they get off of the school bus, or when you're afraid to walk out the door, you walk the child to the school bus after you have left that environment, and it pulls you right back in the trap. Because some of them say, well, ain't no sense in me leaving because, nothing is to be. Some of them feel that the law is not doing enough. We're going to talk about law enforcement. We have enough time in the show. Like I said, it's just an hour show. There's so much to talk about on domestic violence. And if you are being abused, does your partner, I think I gave y'all some examples on that. And if you listen to some of the topics that I talk about, if you're living in under any of those things that I named, then you are in an abusive relationship. And you should be trying to cry out for help. And there is help. We're going to talk about that before the end of the show. The help that's out there for the women that are afraid that there is no help. There is help for you. And there are many, many places you can go to seek help. Even if that's to call the police and get a restraining order, I know a lot of people have left. A lot of victims have left the relationship and put their partner on a restraining order and they were killed. Yes. This is why it's very important. Do not talk about where you're going. Do not trust nobody until you are in a type of environment that they are protecting you from your abuser, because your life is in danger once you leave, and it can be in danger, listeners, if you're living in a domestic violence environment. Okay, so safety while living with the abusers. That's something else, listeners, that you can Google up or learn some information on what safety do I have while I'm living with my abusers, and safety after separating from the abusers. So many topics under this. If I won't have time to read it all and to emphasize on them all, but suggestions for helping a victim of domestic violence. What could I do? One may be saying out there today, what could I do to help my sister, my brother, my cousin, my mother, my father, my good friend, or whatever? What could I do to help this person I know that's living in a domestic violence environment? Do you know someone? If you know someone is in a battering relationship, do you suspect that a friend or relative, like I just said, or someone you know is being abused? If so, do not be afraid to offer help. You may save someone's life. Here are some basic steps you can take to assist someone who may be a target of domestic violence. Approach your friend in an understanding, non-blaming way, which means that I told you, you're blaming them and you're constantly nagging them. Don't approach them that way. You will not gain their trust by doing that. Also, tell them that they are not alone, that there are people like them in the same situation. Encourage them. You are not alone. There are other people in the same situation that you are living in, and that it takes strength to survive and trust someone enough to talk about the battle. And that's what you want to tell to a victim. You want them to feel confident in knowing that you're there. You feel their pain. You feel what they're going through. Acknowledge that it is a scary, I understand that it's scary, and let them know it's difficult to talk about domestic violence. I understand that it may be difficult for you to talk about the things that you're going through behind closed doors, but open up to me. Let me bring you some. You don't want to tell it to me. Let me help you find somebody that you can open up to and be able to discuss what you're going through in that environment that you're living in at home. Make them feel comfortable in talking to you and leaving with you, knowing that you are going to take care of them. And that it takes so much strength for them to do that. You understand all of that. Also tell them this person, that tell the person that they don't deserve to be threatened, hit, or beaten. And I was listening earlier as the co-host was talking about that no one deserved this type of treatment. As she was talking, that's one of the things that you should let a victim know, that nothing a person can do or say makes the abusers violent. Okay, nothing that they can do. I don't care if they go buy you a Rolls Royce. They can buy you a house in Beverly Hills. I don't care what they do. You know, why? I don't care what they have to offer me. It's not worth my life. It's not worth me having all type of scars in my face. I know some people's eyes have been put out through a fingernail going through their eyes. They have lost their eyes from being slapped, hit upside your head. Later on, you have mental illness from that, or you have cancer, brain cancer, or whatever. Anything could happen. So you want to make them understand that nothing their abusers can do can satisfy them being violent, can satisfy them staying in a violent situation. And there's so much other things you need to do. I know it's getting late. Pastor Smith, I'm going to bring you back in. You may run maybe a couple of minutes over today, but that's okay. Share information. Ask them to show your friend the power and control and how they control the will. How they can equally control what's going on in their household if they're not being threatened. You should be able to make a decision along with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend and girlfriend. You know, you should be able to come together and compromise together and make decisions together. I'm going to skip some of them. So all I'm saying to you is inform your friends about legal protection, that it is available in most states. And before we leave this afternoon, we're going to give you the hotline to call and also plan safe strategy for them leaving. Just don't just go there, because sometimes we want to help and we can be more harmful than helpful. If we do not know what we're doing, don't try to do it. Make sure you go to someone else that can come with you to talk to that victim. Because if you go and tell them and do something, you don't know what you're doing, you can cause their life. And also, you can get killed by trying to help them, because the abuser don't care. They take their life as well as yours, okay? So also, 10 things everyone can do to stop domestic violence. I told you some of those things, and I didn't name them all, but I'm going to stop here and going to give you the information to the hotline before bringing Pastor Doris Smith back on. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800 799-7233. And there's no fee to call. You don't have to leave no name. You don't have to leave no judgment or just help. You know, there's no judgment, just help for you, okay? Also, if you live in Louisiana, there's the domestic violence number to call in Baton Rouge. Or you can go online at www.lcadv.org, and the number there in our state is error code 225-752-1296. Now, make sure you check if you're outside the state of Louisiana. Make sure you check with your local law enforcement, and they would give you information on how to seek help and get shelter and food and clothing for yourself once you have left the environment. But the main thing is to build that courage up. And you, without God, you can't do it. Without Christ in your life, you may be praying and say, look, I've been praying to God for years. He has not done it. Yes, God has done it for you. You have not done it for yourself. He told you to trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. Out of all of your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. First of all, I remember when I was a young girl, I would pick my boyfriends and who I want. I never prayed and asked God, was this the right mate for me? Lord, is this who you want me with? Is this my husband? No, we jumped into a relationship and we get ourselves into situations and then we blame God for it. God is not the author of no confusion. God loves you. God don't want you beat on, punched on, calling y'all out your name and been treated like an animal. God loves his animals. God, you know, you go to jail for abusing an animal. So you know what could happen if an adult, if a human is being abused. Pastor Doris Smith, you are back in the studio at the time. I'm so sorry. Just so much to share on domestic violence. Probably have to come in the month of November because we really want people to realize and see what these victims are actually going through. Pastor Smith.
Yes, this is such an amazing topic, and it's such a great topic. It's a much-needed topic to continue to share because, as we have shared earlier in the discussion, it's not just in this month, but domestic violence is every day all over the world. Every second, every minute, somebody is dealing with domestic violence. And one of the things I have noted here is that when you're dealing with a person that's going through domestic violence, one of the things you want to be ever so careful of when you're going around the abuser, remember the abuser lives off of control and inflicting fear. They are dominating. They dominate by fear and control. They beat this person down first mentally and then physically, and many times all both physically and mentally at the same time. Though they may be a loved one, may be a family, may be a friend, the abuser must always be made to feel as if he or she is in control while you are putting in place a plan for you to be free and your children to be free. Once you go and alert the abuser, then he or she become more of a stalker, become more of an abuser. Why? Because now they feel like, uh-oh, I'm going to lose control. Who else am I going to be able to manipulate and abuse and hurt physically and mentally if I don't keep her? I got her. I got him. I got them trapped. I got them afraid already. I've already allowed them to be imprisoned in their mind, and I place their body under the same imprisonment. But who, if I lose them, what am I going to do? And that's why a lot of times they will hurt you. They will hurt your family member. They will kill you, and then they turn around and take their own lives. Why? Because they can't function without control. They are mentally, praise God, they're just mentally messed up to the point where they got to be able to control somebody. And you got to realize, bless the name of the Lord this evening, that you don't have to be beat. It's not okay for you to be beat. It's not okay for your baby to lay in that bed and scream and holler while you screaming and hollering in the next room being kicked, balled up in a corner, in a fetal position, afraid to say anything, afraid. Listen, don't do it afraid. Do it, but do it with a plan that will free you and will free your children from this abuser. Listen, there's no such thing as them saying, oh, I won't do it again. That's all they do is abuse. That's all they know is abuse. Many of them have come from abusive backgrounds. They have learned it. They think that's the way they get what they want. That's the way that keeps them looking like the better person, when in fact it makes them look like the much lesser person. In abusive relationships, let me tell you something, there are cycles of abuse. And during these cycles, the tension, watch this, the tension rises. And after the tension rises, the act of violence starts to happen. Well, he may have hit you today because he had a bad day and you didn't say the right thing, so he made that your fault. Most of the time, the abuser is not going to take responsibility for anything. Everything that happens is your fault. And then after he hits you or knocks you that time, then he takes you through a stage of reconciliation, and there's a calm period. So you may go after you done got beat up this time, you may go for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and he's treating you like a queen. What is he doing? He's drawing you in. He's drawing you more and more in to what? His control, under his authority. Victims of domestic violence are trapped. Why are they trapped? They're trapped in so many different ways. They're trapped by power and control. They are trapped by traumatic bonding to their abuser. They are bonded to their abuser. This abuser makes them think, I really love you. They have mentally handicapped them to the point that making them think, I love you. Nobody's going to love you like me. Look, I got money. Look what I do for you. Who can buy you nice clothes like this? Who can buy you a jewelry like this? Who can buy you a fine car, a nice home like this? Listen, you are worth more than all that materialistical stuff that they're using to hold you in bondage. And many stay in that place of bondage, stay in that place of abuse because of lack of financial resources. They stay there because they're afraid. Fear keeps them there. Shame is one of the key things that keep people in abusive relationships because they don't want nobody to know that they get up in the morning, they put on the finest of clothes, they're made up, they put their makeup on, they're beautified, they walk out and get in the nicest car, out of the nicest home. They go to very powerful jobs and high positions, and most of them, so shame puts them in a place where they won't move. They'll go in and pretend like everything is okay. Another sign is to watch when people are always by themselves. When there's an unction to give out, no, they don't want to go. They shy away from family. They shy away from friends. They shy away from anything that may give you an idea or give you any notion that something is going wrong, that they're in any way being mistreated. So when they're being abused and they have succumbed to that and accepted that, it's very difficult for you to protect your children. Children with an abusive relationship is in a worse condition than the one being abused. Why? Because the one being abused have bowed to the abuser. So how can you help protect your children when you have made it okay for you to be abused? You cannot accept that. It is not acceptable under any circumstances. So you need to begin a process quietly, unbeknownst to anyone, especially your abuser. You need to start a process financially, putting aside some money, financially making contact with people in professional positions, contacting in your ministry, your leader, your spiritual leader, praise God, a leader that walks by the word of God, a leader that knows the truth, that stands on the sound doctrine of truth, is not going to tell you it's okay at no time for you to be beat, for you to be kicked, for you to be abused, for your children to be mentally traumatized because of somebody who has a mental illness who don't want to take care of it and make it as if it's your fault. No leader. So, yes, tell you, seek out your spiritual leader. There are leaders, there are great leaders, just like there are in the world, leaders that practice in these areas of psychological issues and domestic violence. There are spiritual, and there are some great ones. You see, everybody's situation in domestic violence is different, though it is the same. They are suffering from a crime. As a result of this abuse, victims experience physical disabilities. They become chronically ill. They have lifelong health problems. They, too, become mentally ill. Their finances are limited. Their ability to create and have healthy relationships are hindered. They experience severe psychological disorders because of abuse. And I want to share this with you as we prepare to come to the end and turning this back over for our close. Homicide, as a result of domestic violence, makes up a greater portion of female homicide than it does male homicide.
More than 50% of female homicides are committed by what? Their former or current intimate partner. In the United States, it's 37% of murdered women were killed by an intimate partner compared to only 6% for men. Why? Because a lot of times women give them another chance. Oh, he's doing better. Oh, he says he's not going to hurt me. You don't understand that that person is so mentally corrupt until all they want is an opportunity, because you got to understand also they're cowards. Most abusers are cowards. Because let me tell you why they're cowards. Because they cannot function unless they are controlling. Some of them don't only beat the women or beat the men, vice versa. They beat the children. You have adults today in the world that have grown up and have gotten in the same type of relationship as Evangelist Chapman so beautifully said. Yes, God don't want you to be hurt, to be beat, to be kicked, to be knocked down. A lot of times we take ourselves to these places and we don't consult God. We consult him afterwards, and then we become bitter and angry when we run up on somebody that may be in the ministry or may be in the world region of domestic violence, and they give us information that we don't want to hear, give us information that we don't like. Guess what? You still have a right to make a choice. Nobody's going to tell me to stay in an abusive relationship. It doesn't matter what their position is. I know that's a crime. I know that it's wrong. You don't have to stay there. Listen, God has given you the ability to make a choice. You've got to make a wise choice for the sake of your children, for the sake of them growing up with a healthy mind, with healthy opportunities to have great relationships and impact the world in a positive manner. What are you going to gain staying there? Eventually beat to death or kill?
Okay.
So you got to make a decision that you have to carefully and quietly, without distracting the abuser, put a plan in place so that if just you, you can come out and live. If it's you and your children, so you and your children can come out and live and not die. Back in the hands of Evangelist Chapman.
Okay, listeners, you're still tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our beautiful co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida, victims of domestic violence with a silent cry is what we was talking about on today. And remember, we was talking about violence, suffering, the hurt, the pain, the destruction, life, the lives are being in danger, death, you can lose your life, and the mental illness and families and children as well. But let me leave this with you, listeners, on when you go to talk to a domestic violence victim, make sure you have education and you are qualified to give them instructions, because if not, you are putting them in a bad, bad, dangerous situation. So inform your friends about a legal protection that is available in most states. Like I said, for most information, they can visit www.womenslaw.org. Go there and get information on how they can get help for themselves. Go with them to get a protective order to prevent further harassment by their abusers. If you can't go, find someone who can. Or apply transportation to a domestic violence victim program for assistance. Plan safe strategies for leaving an abusive situation. Never encourage someone to follow a safety plan that the person believes will put them in further risk. Remember, your friends may not feel safe talking domestic violence material with you. So make sure you can lead them in the right direction. And have come to the end of the show for today. And as always, you can go to our Facebook page. It's just Pastor Doris Smith on the Doris Smith page, Facebook page. And remember, she has the inspirational, the motivation prayer line. And you will find information there. We are out of time. And you can always contact me at Norma_Chapman@yahoo.com. Remember, listeners, do call back in every Thursday, as we would have new topics to talk about. And now we will have our ending prayer. We want to thank God. Let me thank God for the hurricane that that he bless New Orleans once more and again. And we, there's a lot of damage here, but God bless my home. I'm safe, no damage, and a lot of people are still without.
Praise the Lord.
Praise all the areas that the hurricane has hit, and those that are suffering from the aftermath of the storm. But that being said, Pastor Smith, you have just a second to do a closing prayer, and we'll hopefully see all of you on next week, next Thursday. God bless you. Closing prayer.
Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you today for part two of domestic violence. And, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus as we close today that you would wrap your loving arms around those that are dealing with this type of violence. Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that you would build a community around them, Lord, in safety, that they will be able to come out of these type of situations and live the life you have destined for them in the abundance. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is the end of our show for today. God bless each and everyone. Remember to continue to pray for those that are going through with the COVID-19 and those on ventilators. Continue to pray that God will bless them to come off of ventilators, and the ones that are still hurting in pain, keep them in prayer. God bless you and God keep all of you. Bye-bye now.